How's everybody doing? Good. Welcome, welcome. Welcome back. Anybody who's here for the very first time? Adam, we said you're here for the first time. Anybody else who's totally... Nope. Okay. Excellent. So, welcome back. It's good to see a lot of people coming back. I'm glad the whole Beyonce fiasco didn't dissuade too many people. So, why don't we do what we usually do? Everybody take a moment to say hello to the folks around you, just people in your immediate vicinity. If there's anybody new next to you, or even if there isn't, say hello again.
Hey, I'm Liv.
So everybody have their cell phones set to meditate? So it's worth checking. So we're going to do just a quick, well, not quick. Doesn't have to be quick. It's kind of a opening meditation practice. Get everybody in the right frame of mind. So sit comfortably. Make sure you take a moment to get comfortable, whether you're sitting on a cushion or in a chair or however you want to sit. Make sure your back is straight. Remember, if you're sitting in a chair, it's a good idea, if you require one, to have a cushion below your feet so that your feet rest evenly on something rather than having them dangling. Does everybody remember the 7-point meditation posture? Anybody remember that? Okay. What's the first part? Legs. Yeah, having your legs in whatever position is comfortable. Then what?
Back.
Yeah, back is important. Having your back straight. Arms. Yeah, whatever position you want. If you want to do the right hand resting on left hand, palms facing up, thumbs just barely touching, sitting comfortably in your lap. If you want to have them on your knees, that's fine too, whatever's comfortable. What else? That's 1, 2, 3. Yeah, that's the back. That's part of the back, yep. But it's a good thing. That image helps a lot of people think about how to have their back position straight. Like you're a puppet, string pulling up on your back. And you also want to think about your teeth and mouth, jaw. So it's best to have your lips closed, not tightly, just lips closed. Your teeth can be apart just slightly, jaw kind of relaxed. Your tongue rests on the roof of your mouth, tip of your tongue just resting on the roof of your mouth behind your upper teeth. Having your tongue resting on the roof of your mouth behind your front teeth, they say, helps prevent the need to swallow. Or if you're in a very, very deep, long meditation session, you don't drool all over yourself, which apparently is a hazard that we have to consider. Again, not jaw clenched or anything. You know, your mouth is pretty relaxed. Your eyes, your gaze is just directed out in front of you. Just kind of, you know, they say like 6 feet out in front of you or so, whatever that would be. And not focusing on anything. Again, it's good to have your eyes just slightly open, just enough to let a little bit of light in. You can have them totally closed if that helps, if having them open is a distraction. We talked a little bit about antidotes last week, so if you find yourself like getting, your mind is sinking, it's okay to open your eyes a little more, let a little more light in. If you find your mind's very active, distracted, then it's okay to close your eyes and block a little light out. You can adjust the position of your head too if you find your mind tends to have a sinking mind. You want to raise your head a little bit, that helps. If your mind is distracted, you want to lower your head a little bit. Just find a point that's comfortable. and then adjust a little bit as you need to. It's good every once in a while to review that, you know, it's one of the handouts, the 7-point meditation posture. It's good to review because sometimes you forget certain things or you make little adjustments to what you're already doing based on that review. It can be really helpful. So take a moment to think about your own motivation, whatever reason you have for coming here tonight. Total curiosity, maybe a specific desire to learn something, improve yourself in some way. Try to expand that motivation out. Think about how you can be of benefit to others. Maybe even thinking about being a benefit to all sentient beings. Well, just take a moment and for yourself, in whatever way works best for you, think about your motivation. So we're going to use the 9-round breathing to help focus our minds, settle our minds. It's good for this to have your hands on your knees for start. And then you're going to take your ring finger of your left hand, block your left nostril, long, slow breath in. Same hand, block your right nostril. Long, slow breath out. Do that a total of 3 times. Once you've done that, you switch hands with the ring finger of your right hand, block your right nostril. Long, slow breath in. Same hand, block your left nostril. Long, slow breath out. Do that 3 times. And then with both nostrils, long, slow breath in, long, slow breath out, 3 times. When you're doing that on your own, you can do that up to 3 times if you want to help really settle your mind. So what we'll do next is you can choose whatever meditation you want. If you want to do 9-round breathing another time or two, you can do that. You can do the counting the breath meditation or the bare attention exercise where you just focus your attention on your breath without counting. And I'll just mention that briefly now for people who are new or for anyone who maybe has forgotten that. Just sitting quietly, back straight, bring your attention to your breath right at the tip of your nose. Pay attention to the sensations. Just notice your breathing first. Just overall notice your breathing. And bring your attention right to the tip of your nose. Noticing the air pass out and then in as you exhale and then inhale. Just resting your attention there. If your attention wanders, just gently bring your attention back to the tip of your nose. And let your attention rest on your breath. If you want to count, you can do that too. And we'll just do that for a while. Remember, whichever one you're doing, counting the breaths or the bare attention, make sure you let yourself breathe naturally. Just following the breath, not forcing yourself to breathe any certain way. take a moment to think about the benefit these few minutes you've spent meditating, focusing your attention, calming your mind. Remember that motivation that you set earlier, motivation you thought about at the beginning of the meditation. Bring that back to mind. When you're ready, bring your attention back to the room. So what we're going to do right now is take a few moments, just kind of get together in a group with the people around you. If you're up in the chairs and you want to, well, I guess, you know, I don't know, kind of naturally organize ourselves into groups, I guess, the way we're sitting. But talk a little bit about, just we'll spend a little bit of time talking about your experiences this past week. If you were able to follow a practice, you know, according to your plan. We talked about some homework last week, right? Of spending a little time every day meditating. So how is that going? Were you able to do it? If you weren't, what's getting in the way? If you were able to do it, you know, how is it going? Any obstacles come up? Another interesting thing to talk about is if you are finding any benefits in your daily life. You know, are you noticing maybe any small benefits or maybe, you know, bigger ones? That you think are coming from spending a little bit of time meditating every day if you're doing that. So just introduce yourself again to the folks around you, however you guys want to divide up into groups, and just spend a few minutes talking about that. And then we'll kind of all get together and see if anybody wants to share. Come on up. I always encourage people to sit up towards the front anyway, so this is my way to blackmail people into doing it. So what are some of the things that you guys talked about? Let's discuss with the group.
But it's much easier to do here.
Sorry. What was that?
We discussed that it was much easier to do it here.
Easier to do it here.
Yeah.
It's definitely been a benefit of having a class. Yeah, you know, it's just... It makes you do it. In fact, I'll give you three guesses as to why I enjoy leading this class. Because, yeah, I know there's at least one day a week when I'm going to meditate. No, I've gotten a little better than that, but, yeah, it makes a difference. Yeah. What else? You had the microphone? Did you have it? What were you? No?
No? Checking to see if it's on.
Okay. Do you have any, so anything, did you find anything challenging this week or in practicing this?
Yeah, my own schedule really limited it this week. There's a lot of traveling involved, so there was not too much time to meditate behind the wheel, other than, you know, not get mad at the people around me.
Yeah, which is okay, you know. It's kind of interesting when you talk about being behind the wheel. I mean, I had the same thing. I was out of town for a couple of days last week with my job, and I find that's really disruptive to my meditation. It shouldn't be, right? Because you're in a hotel room. You can get up 5 minutes early and sit there and meditate. I mean, I've done it before. You grab a couple of the cushions off the little sofa there and throw them on the floor, and boom, you meditate. But it's just, it seems like breaks in your routine make it harder. And yes, sir. We'll get back to the driving thing in a moment. But yes, sir.
I've been a little bit sick lately.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of, like... It gives me a motivation to, like, help clear my mind of being a little bit sick.
Excellent. That's awesome. I was expecting you to say the opposite, that when you're sick, because sometimes that happens to me, right? If I'm sick, then it's a little harder for me. That's really awesome if you find that motivates you even more to do it. That's great. What I was saying about driving is I don't know if any of you guys have met David Mackleys. He's one of the other people who leads this class. But he talks about, he's the first one I heard this from, but meditating while you're driving. Like, can you just sit there and be driving the car, not listening to the radio, not having all kinds of fun thoughts about the in front of you and the behind you, right? But actually just driving the car and paying attention to the experience of driving the car, actually focusing all your attention and not thinking about the email you're going to send or the conversation you had earlier with the person at work, but just be fully paying attention to the experience of driving the car. And it's kind of funny because, the way David says this in a way, funnier way than I can, but he's like, and people get worried about this because you think, oh, I don't want to be meditating while I'm driving, right? No, shouldn't you be, right? Wouldn't it be great if we were all just totally focusing our attention on driving the car and not all those other things? I wonder what that would do to accident rates. But it's something you can do, on long trips or, whatever circumstances. It's interesting to try. Yes?
So I have a big mouth, so I can just talk loud.
Well, the people who are listening to the recordings won't hear a word you say.
So what we were talking about is how being present on everything that you do. If you're doing dishes, you're mindful of doing dishes, mm-hmm. and you do them better. Mm-hmm. Or if you're driving, you're mindful of driving. Mm-hmm. And, if you're mindful of driving, then you're not letting your head get mad at somebody over here or over there because you're driving, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of, to me, is a form of meditation. Just being present with everything that I do.
Mm-hmm.
But I still need to do the 5 minute or whatever, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you were to talk to some people who are pretty experienced with meditation, they would say, it's kind of the goal is, you practice it under a very controlled environment where you're sitting on a cushion and that's all you're supposed to be doing for that 5 minute or 10 minute period or whatever is meditating. But the whole goal is to be in that kind of frame of, or some people would say, to be in that kind of frame of mind when whatever you're doing, where you're just focused on what you're doing in that moment. It's a desirable thing. So if you find yourself able to every once in a while, whatever you're doing the dishes or whatever it is, driving your car, to think about meditation for a moment and kind of clear out all the distracting thoughts and just focus on whatever it is you're doing. I mean, that's a great thing. That's a great benefit of meditation. Makes little things like doing laundry, the dishes, more enjoyable too, I think. But what else? Anything else? Any other challenges? Any other comments? Yes.
We talked about the difficulty of schedules and people being busy and not being able to do it, but Pam suggested that maybe writing down, just a notation, I meditated today or something like that might be helpful. And mm-hmm. I'm going to try that. I think that would work.
Yeah. There are all kinds of games you can play with yourself, like have a little bowl of, jelly beans or something. And every time you actually meditate, give yourself a jelly bean in another bowl. Or, you can play games like that. There's some interesting ways to motivate yourself to do things. And if it's meditating that you want to motivate yourself to do, there are ways of doing that. Reward yourself for doing it. What else?
Well, I'm going to say something else.
Absolutely. That's the point.
So, not taking the time to meditate is me playing, and I do. I play that game with myself in my head. I don't have time, I don't have this, And part of me, I'm just realizing why I should take that 5 minutes every day is to calm that down, saying that I do have time for whatever I want to have time for.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm not doing that, then I'm letting this take over.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thought about all that when we were talking. So it is important for me to sit down and just do that 5 minutes and make the time for it, because otherwise, my mind is playing or winning out. My brain's winning over my mind, right? And part of that is not letting it.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
For me, anyhow.
I think something that can be helpful too is if anything good happens. Like, I know something I tend to do is, especially if there's something else that I want to do or something else that I have to do. Like, as soon as I'm done meditating, sometimes I'll be ready to get up off the cushion and go, boom, do whatever it is. But take a few moments, especially if you feel really good at the end of a meditation session. And Geshe Gelug, our teacher, he often says, that, like, that's when you want to stop. When it feels really good, that's when you want to stop. And sometimes I'll stop earlier than I plan to just because it's like, oh, this is great. perfect time to stop. But then just take a moment and just enjoy that. Like, wow, this feels really good. You know, I'm just really calm. This is a really nice way to start my day. Just give yourself that moment to enjoy the benefit. I mean, that can be part of like the dedication. Just enjoy the experience of what you just did. And then, you know, during the day, if you notice little things like you're driving and you're able to bring your attention back and, you know, maybe not let a distracting thought carry you away. Like if you notice some kind of benefit that you would attribute to the time you spent meditating, really give yourself credit for that. Really enjoy that and go, wow, that was really great. You know, like, wow, I can just sit here and focus on doing and clear all this other junk out of my mind and spend 5 minutes just doing the dishes and have a little bit of peace and quiet doing that or whatever it is. Not get irritated at this person driving next to me in this car because I can just let that thought go. Really give yourself credit for that and really enjoy that. You know, amplify that a little bit. And then if you're having trouble getting yourself motivated or finding the time, you can kind of bring that back to mind like, oh yeah, I remember that felt really good the last time I did it. Or, oh yeah, I remember yesterday when I was driving, that really helped. And that's a great way to motivate yourself. They actually talk about, you know, some of the more advanced teachings on meditation. They talk about that's one of the antidotes for just not getting started is you want to, you know, recall the benefits of meditation, and that gets you part of what gets you motivated. So it's a very practical thing you can do. Any other questions, comments before we move on? Okay. So just kind of a quick review of the topics we've discussed so far. This is session 4. You know, we've been talking about the Tibetan Buddhist view of meditation, what it is and what it's for. The Tibetan word is gom, which means familiarization, trying to become familiar with our minds and how our minds work, and specifically with virtuous states of mind. Geshe Gelug, when he quotes from some, I should know what text this is, I'll have to ask him sometime, I don't know which one it is, but the purpose of meditation is to eliminate disturbing thoughts. That's the purpose of meditation. So to eliminate non-virtuous states of mind. It's kind of what we're doing, learning to let those thoughts just go away. We talked specifically about the mind and how it's viewed in Tibetan Buddhist philosophy, where all this meditation practice that we're talking about today comes from. So the mind being clear and knowing, those are its two characteristics. It's clear, it doesn't have any shape, form, color, anything like that. And its function is to know, to cognize. The function of the mind is to know. The mind, they say the mind is awareness. Right? That's exactly what, and they use the terms mind and consciousness synonymously. The mind is changeable, it's impermanent. And impermanent in you know, the way they use it in this philosophy doesn't mean like boom, it's gonna go away, but impermanent just means changing. It's not fixed, it's not going to stay exactly the same as it is in this moment. Something that's anything that's changing is impermanent. And just about everything, according to the Buddhist view, is impermanent, constantly changing. We're constantly changing. The matter that this book is made out of is constantly changing, and our minds are constantly changing. And another important concept is that our thoughts are separate from our mind. We get so consumed and focused on our thoughts and all these things that we're thinking, and we think that's what our mind is, just this collection of thoughts. But they say the mind itself is that clear, you know, they compare the mind to like, I mean, there are a few different analogies that I think work really well. One is comparing the mind to just an ocean. Right? The mind is the ocean. And the thoughts that we have are like waves that appear on this ocean. So yeah, the waves are part of the ocean. They're there, but they're not the ocean itself. You could have the ocean without the waves. And the waves are just things that arise and they exist for a while and then they go away. Another really nice analogy that I think works well to understand this particular view of the mind is that the mind is like a clear lake, a perfectly clear, flat lake. If you've ever like seen a lake, like early in the morning or late in the evening when there's no wind at all and it's just totally flat. And then think about like reflections on the lake, how the lake reflects clouds and the sky and it reflects like, you know, trees and things that are around the lake. So those reflections on the lake are like our thoughts. Yeah, they're there. They're absolutely there. And you see them on the lake, but they're not part of the lake itself. Those reflections are just transient things that appear on the lake that the lake reflects, but the lake itself is that clear. Our thoughts are like trains passing by. Let them pass. Oh, we have fun with the trains, right? You know, with the train metaphors. What's that?
Our thoughts are like the train, but they're not the train.
Yes, exactly. So yeah, the clear lake one is, you can think about that a little bit. I mean, you can do an analytical meditation on that, right? Just think about, you know, thinking, you know, you do your normal, like, beginning process of setting your motivation, do 9-round breathing or something, spend a little bit of time doing, you know, bare attention or counting the breaths. And then just think a little bit about that, you know, image of the clear lake, and think about the reflections of clouds on that clear lake and how those reflections are on the lake. You can see them, they're there, but they're not actually part of the lake. They're separate from the lake. And they're transient. You know, that cloud passes by and you see the reflection of the cloud on the lake, and then the cloud's gone and that reflection's gone. So it's an interesting, analytical meditation or visualization meditation you can do about the mind. So what we're going to talk about now is a little bit more about specifically, like, setting up a meditation practice if you really want to continue doing this as a regular practice. Some specific things that help you, I mean, really what this is all about is staying motivated and getting the most you can out of your meditation sessions. So we say there are four basic parts to a meditation session. And the first part is kind of the preparation, calming the mind. So this is where you might do, just sit down and do something like 9-round breathing at first, just to calm your mind, focus your mind, settle your mind, get your mind in the right frame of mind for meditation. You know, it's kind of like saying, hey, mind, wake up, we're going to meditate, or calm down, we're going to meditate, or whatever it is you need to do. Bringing yourself out of your normal everyday routine and the normal things that are running, the normal programs that are running in your mind, and getting yourself into the frame of mind for meditating. And then the second part of the four parts in this particular way of looking at it would be your motivation. Give yourself a little time, you know, a few breaths to settle your mind, and then, you know, take some time to, just like we've been doing here in class, think about your reason for, I mean, there are a few different ways you can set a motivation. You could think about your reasons for meditating, like, why am I doing this? Because it helps me be more focused. It helps me be more calm. Helps me, I'm seeing benefits. It's helping me be happier. Helping me deal with difficult people. Helping me when I'm driving. You know, whatever. Think about specific benefits to doing that meditation practice. And then, you know, a lot of these things we do when we're meditating, the idea is you take this thought, and you just expand it out, and you make it as expansive and powerful as possible. Because you take something good that you're thinking and just amplify it, and it's even better. You know, it creates an even better feeling, an even better attitude in your mind. So when you sit there and you think about your motivation, you think, yeah, you know, this is really beneficial. This really helps me be calmer. I can just see, even just sitting here meditating, it feels good. And this is helping me be a better person, and maybe it'll help me, you know, be better to other people in my life. And then really just expand that out, amplify that, and think about how spending some time meditating could help you be a benefit to all beings, all sentient beings. You know, and you don't have to really get a grasp on exactly how that's going to work. It's an aspiration, right? That's what it is. It's an aspiration. So it's having that motivation, that desire to, in some way, you know, imagine that you could be a benefit to all sentient beings by doing this. And so having that aspiration, it makes you a little more serious about what you're doing, a little more focused. I mean, that's really what it does. It helps you be a little more focused. It does good things. You know, they say it doesn't. The Buddhist scholars and teachers who talk about this would say it does a lot of good things for your mind. But you can kind of think of it in very practical terms. It's just helping you focus your attention a little more. Not just kind of plopping down and saying, okay, I'm going to meditate now, but really kind of framing it in a very positive way. They talk about setting a motivation, setting your intention, and then dedicating at the end as like bookends on your meditation practice. It's kind of like a starting point when you set that motivation, you set that intention, then the ending point when you dedicate at the end focuses your attention more. So then you do the actual meditation, whatever actual meditation you're going to do. And again, you might want to do some, you know, like 9-round breathing, or just a basic breathing meditation, counting the breaths or bare attention, to kind of settle your mind and focus your attention more. a stabilizing meditation or concentration meditation. And then you might, I mean, maybe that's all you're going to do. Maybe that's your goal for the meditation session, is just to do a concentration meditation, which is great. So you continue that for 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, however long you're planning to do it. Or you might switch from a concentration meditation to like an analytical meditation we've done, like the Mind Like the Ocean or Mind Like the Sky or some of the other ones. If you have this How to Meditate book, you know, there's some really good analytical meditations in there. So maybe that's what you'll do for the remainder of your meditation session. So that's the third part. Preparation, settling your mind, is the first part. Setting a motivation or intention is the second part. And then the actual meditation that you're going to do is the third part. And then the fourth part is dedication. And that's where, you know, like we've been doing at the end, you take a moment to recall your motivation and dedicate, you know, any positive energy and whatever that means to you, you know, positive thoughts, whatever benefit you've generated from doing that meditation practice. And again, make it really expansive. Try to dedicate that out and think about it being benefit to, a benefit. This exercise that you've done, this time you spent to practice, can be a benefit to you and to all sentient beings. Taking this time to improve yourself is helping you be a benefit to all sentient beings. And again, there are, you know, there are different things that teachers say about this. They say that dedicating, you know, setting a motivation, then dedicating, kind of seals in whatever benefit. You know, in the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, they talk about karma, creating positive thoughts in your mind that will have a positive thought result later on. And the idea of setting a motivation and dedicating at the end kind of protects that positive, those positive thoughts that you've created, and so that they will produce a positive result, that they don't somehow get muddied up or decreased. But again, you know, if you're not interested in that, then you can kind of think how, again, it's not just kind of plopping down and meditating for a few minutes, then just getting up and totally forgetting what you were doing, you know, taking that extra moment to dedicate that energy or dedicate that time to something positive kind of sets an end mark there and really focuses that and completes that before you go and, you know, shift your attention to something else. Makes it a little more focused. What do you guys think about that? Any thoughts, opinions, ideas? Yes.
So just a question. I don't think I'm totally clear on dedication. Do you have like an example phrase or something that we can use in our mind?
Sure.
What does it really mean?
I can give you a couple examples. So one, so one way to do it is just to sit there and think, you know, okay, I'm doing this, you know, as far as setting intention and motivation, you can just sit there and think, like, okay, I'm taking this time to sit and meditate because I know it's beneficial, I know it's good, you know, through my experience of practicing this, I'm finding that it's good for my mind. And so I wish right now, my intention is for this meditation practice to benefit me and benefit all sentient beings, as many beings as possible by doing this. That's something simple you could say. And there, I think in the handouts, there are probably some examples like that. For dedication, the same thing. You would say, you'd say something like, I've taken this time to meditate, to try to improve my mind, be more calm, be more focused, and it's my wish that this time that I've spent meditating will be a benefit to me and to all sentient beings, to as many beings as possible. So that would be an example.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
And there are a little more formal ways to do it, like, you know, they're like kind of prayers that we do, or dedication and intention prayers, like, you know, in the Buddhist practice, you would say there's a little prayer you do, like refuge in bodhicitta, and the first part is like thinking about what it means to be a Buddhist, but then the second part, bodhicitta, is you're basically saying, by the merits I create through this practice, may I be a benefit to all sentient beings. Kind of like that. At the end, kind of the same thing. At the end of a meditation session, there's a short prayer you do, dedication prayer you do, you know, by virtue of these merits, may become a Buddha for the benefit of all sentient beings. to longer dedication prayers that are like, you know, go into all these extensive benefits. May all these wonderful things happen. May no one ever suffer. May no living creature suffer, commit evil, or ever create ill. May no one be afraid. You know, may no one be afflicted by, and all, you know, all these different types of suffering that people can experience. So you can make it as simple or as elaborate as you want, depending on what works best for you. But if anybody does want like more specific examples, like I said, I would check the handouts book, handouts for the course on the website. This book has some good examples, and or you know, you can email me and I can point you to some examples too, if you're having trouble thinking of what specifically to think while you're doing a motivation or intention or dedication. Anybody else? Yes.
So I just had a really cruddy day at work.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
And I'm a problem solver, and it was just there was a problem, and I was like, I don't know how I'm gonna solve this. So, like after we did the meditation here tonight, it's not necessarily that I found a solution to the problem, but something came up in my mind that gives me hope that a piece of that I can solve.
Mm-hmm.
So just taking my mind away from the actual problem, because what I like to do, I'm a problem solver, so I'll sit there and grind at it and grind at it and grind at it until I, you know, and if I don't come up with something, I'm like, okay, there is something I'm not thinking of.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of it takes me away from that process.
Yeah.
That I do.
Yep. Absolutely. There's a lot of benefit to that. There's, and I don't remember, Da Vinci has a quote about Leonardo da Vinci, something about every once in a while step away from it. Basically, like you need to take a break every once in a while and get away from whatever it is you're working on, because you'll see lack of symmetry. And it's a very cool quote. You know, I don't know the exact quote, but you'll see flaws in it. You'll see lack of symmetry in your process or problems with your process. And the farther away you get, the better. And even, you know, in learning science, I mean, one of the really difficult things, I work as an instructor, and one of the most difficult things for me to do is convince some of my students that they have to take a break. Because I have students that are studying for these tests, and they're studying like 7 days a week, all their spare time. And I'll ask people, like, when is the last time you took a break? And I don't know. And I'll say, take a break. We're not talking anymore until you take a break. So that applies to a lot of things. I'm going off on a little bit of a tangent here. But I think you may find that, you know, especially if you've had a lot going on in your head, spending a little time meditating can give your brain that break. Maybe nothing. Maybe it's kind of hard to let go of that, you know, continual tendency of your brain to process certain things. I get the same way. You know, if something's bugging me or there's a problem I'm trying to solve, the brain tends to keep working on it. The mind tends to keep working on it. So yeah, meditation can be a good way to give yourself that break from it. Just kind of stop. Hit the pause button for a second. And some people have keep a notebook by them when they're meditating. So you can kind of, while you're meditating, if something comes up, kind of, you know, you can set it aside. I mean, if it's really like becoming a distraction, you can write it down and then put it down and then get back to your meditation. Or just know that it's there, so if any thoughts come up and you want to write anything down when you're done, you know, you can do that. So that can be beneficial. Good. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. So another consideration is setting up a place to meditate at home. If you're going to do this on a regular basis, it can be really helpful to have a specific place set up, you know, for meditation. I mean, we have places in our home to eat and places to watch TV, so, you know, places to work, so why not a place to meditate? It doesn't have to be anything elaborate. I mean, this is totally depends on what's most suitable to you. It's best to have it a quiet spot if you can, a quiet spot where you're not going to be disturbed. Sometimes dogs and cats have other ideas about this, but we do the best we can. It's nice to do it in the same place every day. So this could just be like a, and you know, whatever's suitable to you. It could be just a chair that you maybe use it for other things, but when you're going to meditate, you just put this chair in a certain place and that's your meditation spot. It doesn't have to be a spot that's totally just set aside for that, although it could be. A lot of people have a certain spot in their house that they set aside just for meditation. But it's nice to have it be in the same place every day. That can be beneficial. Again, quiet spot. A quiet spot isn't absolutely necessary. I mean, depending on where we live and what the circumstances are, you may not be able to have total peace and quiet. We have people here at Kadampa Center. We have what we call the Kadampa Prison Project, where some of our members go to local prisons, or some of them even travel a couple hours drive every week to go to prisons and teach meditation to prisoners. And these are people who are living in, prison. You have people screaming and shouting 24 hours a day and just craziness and mayhem going on 24 hours a day. So in this crazy, noisy environment, some of these prisoners become outstanding meditators and learn, even in this very distracting environment, to focus their mind. Having absolute peace and quiet isn't absolutely necessary. Something you might find helpful if you are in a little bit of a noisy environment is to spend a moment, like when you're settling your mind, and I've done this a couple times, I'll say this every once in a while when we're practicing meditation here, but take a moment and just be aware of what's going on in the environment around you. Notice any noises that you hear. Notice any sensations. Is it kind of warm? Is it cool? And just notice them and then bring your attention away from that into, inside what's going on in your mind. And just doing that, just taking a moment to recognize, yeah, there are some noises out there and there are some different things going on, and then just kind of bringing your attention away from that can make that stuff far less distracting. And then you take a moment to notice what's going on internally. Do you have a lot of noise going on, a lot of conversation going on? Are you comfortable? And so those two checks can really do a lot towards, recognizing that there are distractions and then just letting them be there while you meditate. Geshe Gelug, our teacher, he has a kind of funny comment he makes sometimes too. And sometimes people, if you have other people in the house and they know that you're meditating, sometimes they're going to be, quiet while you're doing that, and they understand what you're doing, and they'll be respectful of that, but not always. So Geshe Gelug, he says, you got to be really careful that you're not, too concerned about that. Like, that's just some more noise, some more stuff going on. That's a distraction that you can just let go. You don't want to be there, come stomping out of your room and put your hands on your head. Excuse me, I'm trying to meditate in here. It's not really kind of the point. Whatever distractions there are, just let them go. Some people find it helpful to have an altar, and that can be whatever you want it to be. If it's a little table and it's got a flower on it, great. That can be your altar. Just something, the whole point of an altar, if you really want to know what the point of all this is something that you look at that is beneficial for your mind, that helps your mind while you're meditating. That's really what it is. That's why we have figures of Buddhas and these other wonderful beings here, the 21 Taras and our teachers, Dalai Lama, Lama Yeshe, Lama Zopa Rinpoche. It's because all of this, Kala Chakra over here, all of this is for people who've been practicing and studying this tradition and studying all these different people and beings and what they represent. Just looking at that is really beneficial and helps them get their mind in a very positive place for meditation. There are some specific meditations that people do where you're focusing on, the Buddha, the qualities of the Buddha, or the qualities of Tara, or medicine. Where'd medicine Buddha go? Oh, the blue. Yeah, medicine Buddha. So all these, these images are of these beings like Buddhas who have these specific qualities that we're aspiring to. Patience or, whatever it is, compassion. And so that's the whole purpose for any images or anything that you put on your altar. It's to remind you or to help you get yourself into a certain frame of mind. It's not that alien to us, right? Like we watch whatever. You watch adventure movies and you get all excited, and you're cheering for the hero and you're enjoying the car crashes and stuff. I mean, things that we look at do have an impact on our mind and put us in a certain frame of mind. So the whole idea with having an altar or some of these images is to put you in a positive state of mind or remind you of a certain state of mind that you're trying to achieve. So whatever images do that for you, if you have an image of a really beautiful place that you've visited, maybe an image of a sunset from some vacation that you were on, or, you know, mountains out west in Colorado, you know, you could put that where you meditate and think about that. If you're a Christian and an image of Jesus or an image of Mary or something is beneficial to you, you can have that on your altar. Whatever it is, like the whole purpose is to something that you will find beneficial that helps put you in a peaceful state of mind or reminds you of attributes of mind that you're trying to achieve. Dancing flowers, yes. If the dancing flower does it for you, that's perfect. Yep. So Buddhist, you know, if you're a Buddhist, then that's why we have a statue of a Buddha or something, you know, or statue or pictures of our teachers, you know, just to remind us of that. Any questions about any of that? Setting up a basic practice, setting up a place. And again, they say the same time of day can be really helpful too. You know, if it's morning's really rough for you, morning they say is best, first thing in the morning. If for no other reason than as somebody pointed out last week, a lot of times if you don't do it first thing in the morning, it ain't going to happen. As much as you might say, that's okay, I'll do it at lunch. Well, lunchtime comes and goes. So, but if really like evening is a much better time for you and you find that just works much better, then great. If lunchtime is the best time for you, then that's great. But it is best if you can do it on a regular time every day. Okay. Does anybody remember the two types of meditation that we've talked about? Analytical's one. Yep. And concentration. Those are the two main types of meditation. So another type of meditation is visualization. And visualization is basically, I mean, we talked about that a little bit earlier when I was talking about the image of the mind being like a clear lake, thoughts being like clouds going across the lake. So that would be, that could be a visualization meditation that you do to think about, you know, the nature of the mind. There are a lot of different types of visualization meditations in this tradition. Some people will do visualization meditations where they're doing very intricate visualizations of these holy beings, right? Like the Tara, green Tara, white Tara, medicine Buddha, Shakyamuni Buddha. All these are these tankas, these paintings that you see. You know, they're kind of very elaborate, but what they are is representations of. So the idea is that these are, I mean, there are a few different things depending on how you want to look at it. One is that if you accept the idea that we have really tremendous potential to improve our minds, that if you accept the idea that we have the ability to really, through great effort, through meditation and study, that we can eliminate negative states of mind, right? And really have our ability to control these, or when these negative thoughts come up, just let them go and not get carried away by them. And really cultivate positive states of mind, like compassion, love, patience. So the idea is that a Buddha is just a person who's done that job really, really well and fully developed positive states of mind and completely eliminated negative states of mind. That's what the word Buddha means. So these paintings that you see are images of different beings who are at different stages along that path, different Buddhas. You could think of it as different beings who've done that job and completely developed positive states of mind and eliminated different states of mind. Kind of makes sense if you accept the idea that we can do it a little bit. You know, yeah, I'm seeing a little bit of benefit of meditation. It's not really hard to imagine that there are people who've really done this job well. So that's what these represent. Or for other people, they represent just specific states of mind that we aspire to. Like green Tara is a representation of compassionate action. So having a compassionate mind, having the desire to see people or see others be free from suffering, and then actually taking action to do that, to help others be free from suffering. So that's what they represent. So people will do very elaborate meditations on these images where they're trying to develop those states of mind, that specific state of mind that they find beneficial or they find useful. So that's one type of visualization meditation. There are other simpler types. So those are maybe the more elaborate kinds. There are other simpler, if you hear of Tantra in this tradition, that's basically what that's about. There's a class coming up in Discovering Buddhism on Monday nights that's the focus of the next session. There are other simpler visualizations, and there's a lot of, you know, modern research that supports the benefits of visualization, especially in sports psychology, if anybody's familiar with that. I mean, I've dealt with, that's kind of what most of my background is in more of a sports and recreation world. And I can tell you, like, top competitors spend a lot of time visualizing whatever it is that they do, whatever sport it is they do, they'll spend a lot of time. Top world-class athletes spend a lot of time focusing and visualizing. They do basically it's visualization meditation where they're visualizing themselves executing whatever it is, whatever that sport is, whether it's a runner or a basketball player or a sprinter or a shooter. They'll spend a lot of time, hours, just visualizing themselves doing that particular task perfectly. I remember reading an article about an Olympic shooter who said, you know, he sits on the couch and spends hours just visualizing himself, no gun, no target or anything, but just visualizing himself perfectly shooting the target. And there was another study I read that was really interesting where they said that for somebody, for like these athletes who are very, very familiar with a certain task, so like let's say the Olympic shooter, right, who spent hours and hours actually shooting at targets, actually physically doing it. For someone like that, doing these visualization exercises actually produces almost as much benefit. You have to be very intimately familiar with this, whatever activity it is. But if you are that familiar with an activity, then visualizing can actually produce as much benefit as physical practice. So it's very, very interesting. So kind of, you know, you get the idea of why we do these visualization meditations in different types of meditation practice. It is when you're sitting there and you can create a nice, you know, very clear visual image in your head, then it can have very specific, you know, benefits. Whether you're trying to develop a certain state of mind or whether you're just trying to understand a concept better, like visualizing the mind being like a clear lake. You know, spending 5 minutes and really imagining, you know, you're up on some mountain somewhere and the air is really clear and there's this lake. It's perfectly clear, perfectly flat, no wind. Visualizing those clouds going across the lake and that lake being like your mind and those clouds being like the thoughts moving through your mind. You know, something like that to get a clear idea. Or the meditations that we've talked about in the handouts, the mind like the ocean or the mind like the sky. Really, you know, trying to create that very clear image that we discuss in those handouts and those meditations. And it can really give you they talk about, in the Tibetan tradition, they talk about having realizations, which, you know, I don't really know what that's all about, but based on what I've heard people talk about, the idea is that if you can meditate and focus on a concept long enough, you actually get like an experience of that. It's not just an intellectual understanding of it, but an actual experience of it. Like my favorite analogy is like, imagine someone who, so picture this, you've got this kid who grows up and his parents are famous pastry chefs, right? And so this kid grows up knowing like 20 different recipes for chocolate cake, right? And he could make a chocolate cake ever since he was like 7 years old, perfect chocolate cake, 20 different recipes. And then he decides he wants to be a chemist, right? So he goes to school, goes to college, gets a master's degree in chemistry. So not only can he make a perfect chocolate cake, but he could describe to you in exact detail all of the chemical processes that are happening when you mix the ingredients and bake the cake. Like he could give you this perfect, wonderful, with the PowerPoint description and all the little chemicals and stuff, perfect description of what happens when you bake a chocolate cake. So imagine that. Now, imagine he has never, ever, for some odd reason, ever put a single piece of chocolate cake in his mouth. Does he know what chocolate cake tastes like? With all this knowledge that he has, can he actually say that he knows what chocolate cake tastes like if he's never put a single piece in his mouth? No. He has no experience of the taste of chocolate cake. He has an intellectual understanding, amazing intellectual understanding beyond, you know, anything that most people would have. But he doesn't know what chocolate cake tastes like. So that's the difference between understanding something and having the experience of it. And so the idea is through meditation, through some of these, you know, really, you know, intense meditation practices, that we can actually get a realization of some of these concepts that maybe we can understand intellectually, like compassion, you know, patience, love, you know, these concepts, kindness that we talk about. You focus on them and meditate on them long enough, understanding the nature of the mind, some of these really complicated topics they talk about how the mind actually exists. By meditating on them intently which requires focus, right? Which requires concentration. If you're really going to sit for 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 2 hours and intently focus on this concept of how the mind actually exists, you got to be, you know, if you really want it to be productive, you need to be sitting there thinking about that and not about the grocery list and the laundry and the email and stuff. So having the ability to concentrate is an important part of that. And having the ability to, you know, there's an analytical nature to it, right? And it incorporates analytical meditation too. So when we talk about this visualization meditations, they're kind of a combination of concentration meditations and analytical meditations, with the goal being to get you to have a really clear understanding. That would be one type of visualization meditation, where you're trying to get a really clear understanding of a concept through some type of visualization. And then other types are just, you know, developing a certain state of mind or amplifying a certain state of mind. Any questions about that? Yes. Here you go.
Well, not any questions, but it just makes me think of, having that understanding or that realization is kind of the saying of going from your head to your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That and I think about it in math sometimes, where you have the exact equation, you have the solution, or the formula that you need to follow, and you can go by that. But once you understand what's going on, it's kind of having that realization and feeling it,
mm-hmm.
instead of just knowing what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen to me with a few things, and it's really cool, because it's like, okay, I understand that intellectually, but all of a sudden I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I get it now.
Yeah, I like that, going from your head to your heart. That's really great. We talk about, in my field, we talk about having an intuitive understanding of something, practicing something until it's intuitive, until you actually do it without thinking about it. You know, you're not putting as much mental effort into producing that result as you would be if you're just intellectually understanding it. Anybody else? All right, well, let's try a visualization. This is a pretty simple visualization meditation, just to get the idea of what that's all about. So this is a purification with light meditation. The idea is, again, the purpose of this is to eliminate negative thoughts, non-virtuous states of mind. And you're doing this by doing this visualization where you're bringing light into your body. Excuse me. So, get in a comfortable position, however you want to sit. Back straight. Legs supporting you. Hands wherever you like, on your knees, in your lap. Head, eyes, lips, teeth, tongue. Breathe naturally. Just rest your attention on your breath for a moment. It doesn't have to be at the tip of your nose. Can be noticing your shoulders rise and fall. Maybe noticing your abdomen expand and contract. Just noticing your breath. Bring your attention to the tip of your nose, air passing in and out. Are there any distractions, noises, thoughts? Notice yourself being distracted, just gently Bring your attention back to your breath. And let your attention rest there, the tip of your nose. And spend a few moments either using one of the breathing meditations we've talked about, counting the breaths, 9-round breathing, or just bare attention, focusing on the air moving out and in through your nose. Take a moment, think about your motivation, your intention for this meditation session. Think about how this will be a benefit to you. Expand that intention out. Think that this time you're spending will truly be of benefit. Help you be of benefit to all sentient beings, all living beings. Let your mind rest on that thought for a moment. Focusing your attention on your breath, breathing normally and naturally, focusing on the complete duration of each exhalation and inhalation. As you exhale, imagine that all of your negative energy, past mistakes, distorted conceptions, disturbed emotions, leave your body with the breath. Visualize all this negative energy as black smoke. As you exhale, this black smoke is leaving your body, going far away from you, from this room. Far away, out into space, where it disappears completely. Visualize visualize this with each exhalation. As you breathe out these negativities again and again, feel confident that you're gradually freeing yourself from all traces of negativities, faults, sickness, or delusions. As you inhale, imagine that all the positive energy in the universe, all the positive energy in the universe enters your body with the breath in the form of pure, radiant, white light. Visualize this light flowing through your nostrils, down into your body, and into every part, every corner of your body, pervading every cell, every atom, every organ. With each inhalation, your body gradually becomes clearer and clearer, lighter and lighter, more and more transparent. You feel more and more relaxed, light, and blissful. Visualize this continuously, repeatedly, again and again. Continue to concentrate on this experience, breathing out the black smoke of your problems, illnesses, and negative energies, breathing in the white light of purifying, blissful, good energy. If you're distracted by feelings or sensations, or other input from the environment, simply observe these distractions without reacting or getting involved. Imagine that they too transform into black smoke, then breathe them out into oblivion. Think about all the positive energy, all the positive thoughts you've created through the practice of meditation. Dedicate all that positive energy to becoming a better person, becoming more at peace in life. Dedicate all that positive energy to bringing more peace and well-being to others in every moment of every day. When you're ready, bring your attention back to the room. Gently bring your attention back into the room. So any comments, questions, observations? Yes. Brian's got it.
So I have like a lot of things to think about. Like I have to write a speech for something tomorrow. I have to memorize a different speech for something else. And after, like you said, after you start feeling good, you have to stop, and all that came back to my head, so I continued, and it just cleared up and left.
Good. Good. This does take practice, because that does happen sometimes. You know, you feel really good while you're meditating, and then you get up, and 5 minutes later, you're thinking about the other stuff. But that's okay. That's just, this is going to happen. That's why you got to keep doing it. Kind of like taking a bath, wears off after a while. I got to go do it again. Any other comments? Questions? And I, you know, this is very subjective and anecdotal, but I really do think that the more I'm consistently spending time meditating every day, the more it helps me focus on the stuff that I have to do and the stuff that I have to write and the stuff that I have to memorize. I think it really does have a direct impact on your ability to focus and concentrate. And the time that you spend working on something becomes just time that you're working on that and not time that you're working on five other things that you really don't need to think about at that particular time. So I think there's some very practical benefit to this. So, in terms of your homework, should you choose to do homework, for this week, it's basically the same thing. Continue your daily practice if you're doing that. Think about all four parts that we discussed, settling the mind, setting a motivation, and then the main body, whatever main meditation you want to practice, whether it's concentration meditation or an analytical meditation. Try to practice the purification with light meditation. Again, this is in the handouts, the one we just did, at least three times during the week. And in the beginning, it's really nice to do that as a separate meditation, just focusing on that, breathing out the black smoke, breathing in the white light. You can also combine that with nine-round breathing, where as you're breathing out black smoke. As you're breathing in white light. You can do that later if you want. So other than that, continue the meditation on transforming negative into positive if you've been doing that. And, yeah, keep it up. Keep at it. And we will see you back next week for session 5. Thank you all very much for coming.